I'm sure everyone here knows what a bar mitzvah is, and I'm sure everyone here had a bar mitzvah. But what is the significance of a bar mitzvah? Not your question. It's a suddas mitzvah, but not the, I don't mean the party. Becoming chayav mitzvah. So exactly. When a boy turns 13, or for that matter, a girl bas mitzvah, when she turns 12, she becomes obligated in mitzvah. So where does that number come from? Oh, okay. Alan, you're jumping the gun. Come on.
No,
you're cheating. Okay, so let's, and I would be very impressed if anyone can guess already where we're going with this, how this relates to Nazir Dasam of Bez.
It's
going to be hard.
The answer for something.
Exactly. So let's see. So the first source is what everyone is familiar with, the Mishnah in Avos, where it says, "Huayi Omer ben Chamishanim leMikra ben Ezra leMishnah ben Shalosh Esrei leMitzvah." So the Mishnah in Avos already assumes that when a child turns 13, a boy turns 13, he becomes obligated in mitzvos, and the assumption is that when a girl turns 12, also she becomes obligated in mitzvos. The question is, where does that number 13 come from? So there seems to be two different formulations in the Rishonim. It could be that there are more. This is what I found. There's the opinion of the Ibn Ezra and the opinion of the Rush. They're very similar, but just a slight difference between the two formulations. The Ibn Ezra assumes that the number 13 comes from a tradition. He doesn't call it a halacha l'mush m'Sinai, but he assumes, like many halachos that we have, are traditions that we have from Chazal, that Chazal passed down from generation to generation. So too, the idea of 13 or 12 for a girl is a masorah, a tradition that we have, but it's a bona fide din d'oraisa. That's what the Ibn Ezra writes in Parshas Kedoshim. Now, the Rush in a tshuva, in source 3, welcome Howard, good to see you again. Yeah, that would have been awkward. So Howard comes to the call in the afternoons once a week to learn with Rabbi Simon. So usually it's Wednesday, today was Thursday, so a lot of Howard today, Baruch Hashem. So the Rush in the Tshuva writes, like Alan said, that the concept of 13, Yud Gimel Shanim, for a child to become bar mitzvah is a halacha l'moshe misinai. We know that the Rambam writes in the Hagdama to his Perish Mishnais that there are five categories of Torah Shebal Peh, of halacha, and one of those categories, the Rambam says, is halacha l'moshe misinai, which are traditions that we have that were given to Moshe at Sinai, and they were passed down verbally from generation to generation, and they have no relationship to any psukim in the Torah. Halacha l'moshe misinai is not directly related to any pasuk. It's binding, completely binding, but you can't find a hint to it necessarily in the Torah. It's not like we had a drusha through the Yud Gimel Midosh HaTorah and the Drushas Behen. It's a complete tradition Baal Peh. That's the concept of halacha l'moshe misinai. So the Rush writes that just like the Gemara in Masechta Sukkah says, the concept of shiurim, all shiurim that we have, kezayis for food, kebetza, all the different shiurim, revius, all the different shiurim that we have, the Gemara in Masechta Sukkah says that they're all halacha l'moshe misinai. That's the Gemara's conclusion there in Sukkah and Erevin. Says the Rush, so too the concept of 13 for a boy or 12 for a girl to become bar bas mitzvah is a halacha l'moshe misinai. It's like any shir. It's like kezayis, kebetza, revius, all of those shirim. So too the age of 13 and 12 is a halacha l'moshe misinai, like Alan told us before. That's the opinion of the Rush. Okay, so very similar to the Ben Ezra, that it's a Masorah. This, he says, is a halacha l'moshe misinai. Now, what many people are not aware of is it's not all about 12 and 13. There's actually another indicator for when a child becomes of age, when a child becomes chayv and mitzvos. It's not just 13 and 12. Anyone else know what the other indicator is? Shtei saros, right. So we're only going to say this once because it looks like I want to minimize the giggles, but pubic hairs. I know this is a very immature bunch that we have over here, so I don't want everyone to start cracking up. But when a child has two pubic hairs and is 13, or a girl, the two hairs and is 12, that's when they become obligated in mitzvos. How do I know that? So Chazal say that in many places. Just take a look in Source 4 in the Rambam. This is the Rambam in Hilchos Shvisos Esor, the Rambam describing when a child becomes obligated to fast on Yom Kippur. So the Rambam writes, Bas 12 shana of Yom Echad, uben 13 shana of Yom Echad. So a girl when she turns 12, or a boy when he turns 13, Shehiviu shtei saros, and he produces, or she produces, two hairs. We'll call them shtei saros from now on. Harihen kegedolim l'chol hamitzos, umashlimin min haTorah. Says the Rambam, they become gedolim, they become adults, with respect to being obligated in all mitzvos. And memela, they have to complete the fast, mashlimin, they have to complete the fast of Yom Kippur, min haTorah midaraisa. But the Rambam writes, "Avalim lo hiviu shtei saros." If they don't produce the two hairs, the shtei saros, adayin ketanim heim, they are still considered children. Ve'ena mashlim and elam midivrei sofrim, their obligation to fast is only midrabanan, is only rabbinic. So the Rambam tells us that aside from the idea of 12 for a girl and 13 for a boy, there's also a need to mature with two saros, shtei saros, in order to be considered a full-fledged bar or bas mitzvah. So far, so good. Basics. This is everyone's familiar with this. Okay. So the Chasam Sofer in a tshuva in Simen Shin Yud Zayin and Chelek Yerodea points out the following difficulty. We know that there's a concept of Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, right? Even though the Torah was given to us, we have to observe all Taryag Mitzvos. The non-Jews have a set of mitzvos that are binding upon them. We call it Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. It's really more. You learn the sugyas in Sanhedrin, you'll know why it's called Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, if there are actually more that are binding upon them. But there's a set of mitzvos that are binding upon B'nei Noach. Okay? Now, the Rambam writes, in Hilchos Melachim, that's where the Rambam discusses all the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, the Rambam writes that a non-Jewish katan is not obligated in the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. Meaning, let's say you have I'm going to use this term bedafka. You have a non-Jewish minor, not to say how old he is, he's a non-Jewish minor who eats Eiver Menachai. Eiver Menachai is one of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. So says the Rambam, he's not going to be punished. He's not going to be held accountable, because just like when it comes to Jews, Ketanim are not held accountable whenever they do Averos, so too when it comes to non-Jews, if they're a Katan, they're not going to be held accountable when it comes to the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. That's what the Rambam writes here in Source 5 in Hilchos Melachim, that if you have a guy who is a katan, he is not going to be punished for violating the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. Okay. So far, so good. The problem is, says the Chasam Sofer, the Rambam later on in Hilchos Melachim writes that the concept of shiurim in halacha do not apply to non-Jews. They only apply to Jews. For example, for a Jew to violate machalas asuros, eating non-kosher food, and to be punished for it, he has to eat how much? A kezias, right? A kezias of, let's say, for a person to eat a basu b'chalav, or chelev, or nevela, whatever it is. So in order to get malchus, in order to be punished for that aveira, you need to eat a kezias. There's a concept of chatzi shir asur min haTorah, but in order to be punished, you need a kezias. The Rambam writes, if you have a non-Jew who eats Eiver Menachai, any amount he's going to be punished for. Any amount he's going to be punished for. Take a look in Source 6. The Rambam writes, V'chein chayv al Eiver Menachai, a non-Jew is chayv or Eiver Menachai, v'al basar menachai b'chol shehu. Any amount of basar menachai, shalo nitnu ha-shi'urin ela li-Yisrael bilvad. The Rambam writes that the concept of shi'urim were only given over to Klal Yisrael. Those were never given over to Bnei Noach. So memela, any amount that they eat, they're going to be punished for. Okay? So the Rambam writes that even though Goyim have to observe the Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach, so you would think that the Shiurim are the same as Klal Yisrael. No, says the Rambam, the Shiurim, the concept of Shiurim, of Kezias, Kebetza, whatever it is, only apply to Bnei Yisrael. They don't apply to Bnei Noach. So asks the Chasam Sofer, according to the Rush, who holds that the concept of 13 and 12 to become a bar and bas mitzvah is a shir, that is a halacha lamosh misinai, just like all other shiurim, yeah? And shiurim were not given over to B'nai Noach, at what point does a non-Jew go from being a minor to an adult? For us, for Jews, we know. Before the boy is 13, he's a minor. Once he turns 13, he becomes an adult. But for non-Jews, we're not given the concept of shiurim, kezayis, kebetza. And the Rush said the idea of 13 and 12 is also a shiur from the halach l'moshe b'sinai. And that was not given over to Bnei Noach. And we know that the Rambam tells us there's a concept of a minor when it comes to non-Jews. So at what point does the non-Jew transition from minor, from katan, to gadol, to adult? We don't have 13 and 12 as the threshold for that transition. So what is the threshold for a non-Jew to become a gadol? Everyone hear the question?
We don't have 12 and 13 as a threshold, or we don't have them as a definition?
We don't... For non-Jews, or for... What do you mean?
So that's
exactly the question. Meaning, if we assume that the idea of 13 and 12 was only given over to Bnei Yisrael, at what point does the non-Jew become an adult? You don't have 13 and 12 as the gauge for adulthood. So what is the gauge for adulthood when it comes to non-Jews? The Rambam tells us there's a concept of ketanim versus gedolim by non-Jews. So where do you draw the line? That's the question of the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer says a chiddush. And maybe it's intuitive to many of us. The Chasam Sofer says that for non-Jews, absent the idea of 13 and 12, it's all about intellectual maturity. That's. And it's going to be very subjective. You can have a child who's 5 or 6 years old and is extremely mature and is able to have conversations and maybe able to have, financial interactions, do financial transactions with other people. And you can have a 10-year-old who is extremely immature and not able to hold conversations and not able to do any financial transactions. So says the Chasam Sofer, when it comes to non-Jews, it's all about das. It's all about intellectual maturity. They don't have the concept of 12 and 3 and shtei sa'aros. They have the concept of das. That's the opinion of the Chasam Sofer. And many assume this way halacha l'maisa. Why is this halacha l'maisa? So the Chasam Sofer's tshuva was actually about the following case. Very interesting. We know that there's a concept of bechor, behema, tahora, right? If you have a kosher animal, let's say you have a cow or you have a sheep and it has a child, so its firstborn is called the bechor and it's supposed to be brought as a korban in the Beis HaMikdash, right? That's simple. The problem is that Bizman Hazeh, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So what are you supposed to do if you have a... Someone told me that, I think I heard that Rabbi Weil, who was the rabbi in Beth Jacob, he grew up on a farm, right? He grew up on a farm. That's why he wears cowboy boots. So he had the shayla halach l'maisa because he had a farm and the kosher animals were having firstborns. So what are you supposed to do with the firstborn? It's supposed to grow as a korban, but we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So it has kedusha, it has sanctity, and you're not allowed to get benefit from it, but you can't have an animal that's hanging out in the on the farm and you can't touch it. So the eights of the Gemara Maseches Bechor says that you're supposed to sell the animal before it gives birth to a non-Jew, right? You sell the animal to a non-Jew, and if the baby is born, the Bechor is born while it's under the ownership of the non-Jew, the Bechor is not then going to have the same level of Kedusha, and it doesn't have to be brought as a korban. So that's what all these farmers do. The religious farmers, what they do is they sell their behemoth temporarily to a non-Jew. This way, when the baby is born, it's not going to have the Kedusha, and then they buy it back from the non-Jew. Okay, so the Chasam Sofer was dealing with an interesting shaila. Let's say you have a farmer, a Jewish farmer, who wants to sell his cow before it gives birth to the firstborn. Can he sell it to a non-Jewish minor? He was talking about a 9-year-old guy. That was the shaila. 9-year-old guy. So in halacha, when it comes to Jews, we usually assume that until the child is 13, the boy is 13 or the girl is 12, they can't, on a del reis, on a biblical level, they can't do financial transactions. They can't sell things, they can't buy things necessarily. But what about a guy? At what age can a guy do financial transactions with a Jew? That's the context of the Chasam Sofer. So he says, based on this chiddush, it depends. when it comes to Goyim, it's not about 13 and 12. The age, the number, doesn't really matter. It's all about intellectual maturity, what he calls das. So if the 9-year-old was a pretty savvy little kid, so then you'd be able to sell the animal to him, and he'd be able to buy it. But if the 9-year-old was immature, then you wouldn't be able to. It's subjective. It depends on the maturity of the child. That's the chiddush of the Chasam Sofer, again, based on this rush, that the concept of shiurim, of age, 13, 12, is a halacha Moshe B'Sinai, and since the Rambam writes that shiurim do not apply to non-Jews, therefore the concept of 12 and 13 do not apply to non-Jews. At what point do they become adults? Whenever they mature intellectually. That's the chiddush of the Chasam Sofer. Okay, that's all hakdama to what we're going to discuss. So far it's clear? Yeah, the hakdama is clear. Okay. We know that there is a concept of mufla samach li'ish. What's mufla samach li'ish? So as we've been saying up until now, that a girl becomes an adult when she's 12, and a boy becomes an adult when he's 13. Now, there is a Mishnah in Maseches Nida, which says that even though that's the case, that a girl becomes an adult when she's 12 and a boy becomes an adult when he's 13, if an 11-year-old girl or a 12-year-old boy makes a neder, then it could be that their neder is binding. If they take a vow, even though they haven't reached the age of bar or bas mitzvah, they're only 11 for a girl or 12 for a boy, it could be that their neder is binding. That's the concept of mufla samach li'ish. Now, it's a machlokas in the Gemara Maseches Nida, whether that concept of mufla samach li'ish, that an 11-year-old girl or a 12-year-old boy's neder is binding, is that a concept midoraisa? It's a biblically it's binding? Or is it only midoraban? But that's the concept of mufla samach li'ish. Again, even though when it comes to kol Torah kula, the girl is only, her mitzvahs are only binding, her aveir is only binding at the age of 12 and the boy is 13. When it comes to nedarim, it's the year before bar mitzvah or the year before bas mitzvah. And there's a machlokas in the Gemara whether that's a doraisa concept or a derabanan concept. Mufla samach li'ish. Okay. Sorry. And now we come to our Gemara in Maseches Nazir. So if everyone remembers from Nazir, except for Chaim, who's not up to the staff, he's almost there. So earlier in the week, we learned Daf Samach Beis. That was, right, today Samach Vav, so that was four days ago, something like that. So the Gemara on Daf Samach Beis was going through all the drushos in the various psukim of what you do with the word ish. Right? It says ish in the parsha of Nedarim. It says ish in the parsha of Erechin. What do we do with the word ish? It seems to be an extra word, and whenever there's an extra word in the Torah, we always darshan it, right? So it says in the Torah, when discussing the concept of Erechin, the Torah says, Ish kiyafli neder berkecha. A person, if he'll take a neder as an Erech. We know Erechin, or Arachin, depending on how you pronounce it, it's a type of neder, right? The Torah defines how much a person is worth in terms of their Erech, and a person says, I want to accept upon myself your Erech, the way it's written in the Torah, so I have to give that amount to the Beis HaMikdash, right? And the Torah delineates each age group, whether it be male or female, how much the person has to give to the Beis HaMikdash. That's the concept of Erechin. Ah. So the Gemara says, when it says Ish kiyafli neder be'arkecha, the word Ish seems to be extra, and the Gemara thinks that we should darshan the word Ish to be marbe something else. It's coming to teach us a new halacha. What's it coming to teach us? So the Gemara has a couple suggestions what the word Ish in the parsha of Erechin, what is that coming to teach us? So first the Gemara suggests on the bottom, in source 8, this is the Gemara on Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph, the Gemara in the last line on the page, the third line, Ha'ish mi boile le'isuyi mufla l'samach li'ish. So first the Gemara suggests that it could be that the word ish in the parsha of Erechin is coming to teach us that mufla samach li'ish, meaning, again, a boy, when he's 12, the year before bar mitzvah, or the girl when she's 11, the year before bas mitzvah, that their nedarim and their erechin are binding. So that's what the word ish is coming to be marbe. I would have thought to say you have to wait till the girl is 12 and the boy is 13. Comes the Torah and says ish, an extra word to tell us that more people are in the parsha nedarim, coming to tell us that even the year before bar or bas mitzvah, their nedarim or Erechin are binding. So the Gemara says, oh, wait a second. That only makes sense if you assume Mufla L'Samach L'Ish is Daraisa. Then it makes sense to say that the Torah, we're learning it from a Pasuk. But if you assume Mufla L'Samach L'Ish is Darabanan, so then it can't be that the Torah is teaching us the concept of Mufla L'Samach L'Ish because it's only rabbinic, so we're not going to derive it from a Pasuk. So the Gemara suggests, if you flip the page, the Gemara says, maybe L'Asuye Mufla L'Samach L'Ish Da'ovid Kochavim. We know that non-Jews can take nedarim and can make nedarim like Jews. They can be makdish things. They can bring korbanos, and they can make vows like Jews. The Gemara has a drasha ish ish l'rabos of the kochavim that non-Jews can take nedarim just like Jews can take nedarim. So says the Gemara, it could be that the word ish in the parsha of Erechin is coming to tell us that a guy who is mufla samach l'ish, his nedarim are binding. In other words, a guy who is 12, his nedarim will be binding. That's what the word ish is coming to teach us. Okay, that's the Gemara. The 9, right? No. Asked the Chasam Sofer, according to what I just said, that the concept of 12 and 13 are irrelevant when it comes to non-Jews. Their threshold of adulthood is intellectual maturity, das, not the age of 12 or 13 or shtei saros. How can the Gemara then go ahead and say when it comes to nedarim, there's a concept of mufla l'samach l'ish by non-Jews? The assumption is that a guy, his nedarim will only be binding when he becomes 13. And the Torah is coming to tell us, no, his nedarim are actually binding when he turns 12, mufla l'samach l'ish. The Gemara seems to be assuming that the concept of 13 or Mufla Samach L'Ish, which is the year before 13, are relevant even by non-Jews. Otherwise, what's the Gemara's whole Havamina, the Gemara's assumption that the word Ish in the Parsha of Erechin is coming to teach us that a non-Jew, if he takes a neder when he's 12, his neder is binding. Meaning, if without the Pasuk, I would have assumed that the non-Jew's neder is only binding when he becomes 13. Why would I have assumed that? Once you tell me that a non-Jew's nedarim are binding, and we assume that only adults can take nedarim, so when it comes to a non-Jew, he becomes an adult way before 13, whenever he has intellectual maturity, whenever he gets his das. So why does the Gemara in Maseches Nazir seem to assume that with respect to nedarim, a guy's nedarim are only binding when he becomes 13 or 12, if you assume mufla samach l'ish? Again, the Chasam Sofer said, based on the Rush, that the concept of 13 and 12 is a halacha l'moshe Mesinai. It's a shiur. And the shiurim do not apply to Bnei Noach. And Bnei Noach, therefore, only become adults. They become adults much earlier, whenever they have intellectual maturity, even before they're 12 or 13. So why does the Gemara in Maseches Nazir assume that a non-Jew's nedarim are only binding when he turns either 12 or 13? 12 or 13 are irrelevant numbers when it comes to Bnei Noach. They become adults much earlier. Everyone hear the question? That's the Chasam Sofer's his question. You don't hear the question.
No, I hear the question. Maybe nedarim are different.
Oh, why nedarim different?
That's just a reason.
That's a good direction to go in. Yeah, for sure. So there are different suggestions. In the interest of time, we're just going to say over the Chasam Sofer's teretz. He in the same tshuva he asked the question. He quotes the question from someone else and he gives a teretz. Very interesting. He suggests that when do we say that the gauge, the threshold for adulthood for non-Jews is intellectual maturity, not 12 and 13. That's when it comes to Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. Meaning, when we're discussing their own category, their own set of halachos, that are mitzvahs that are binding upon them, they become obligated in those when they have intellectual maturity, not when they become 12 or 13. So when it comes to Aver Menachai, when it comes to Arayos, when it comes to Ritzicha, they become obligated in those much earlier. They become obligated in those when they reach intellectual maturity, das. Oh, fine. That's what we're talking about up until now. Says the Chasam Sofer. But when it comes to categories of halacha that non-Jews are obligated because the Torah said they're just like Jews with respect to certain halachos, then with respect to that halacha, the threshold, the gauge for adulthood is the same as Jews. For example, How do we know that non-Jews are obligated in Nedarim and Nedavos? How do we know that their Nedarim, their Erech, and are binding? Because the Gemara Darshins, when the Torah describes the mitzvah of Nedarim and Erechin by Jews, it says Ish Ish. The extra word Ish teaches us that non-Jews are like Jews with respect to the obligation to observe Nedarim. So the source for the non-Jew's obligation to observe his neder or her neder is from the Parsha, which obligates Jews. So since the source for Goyim, their obligation to observe Nedarim, is from the Parsha, which obligates Jews, therefore, both Jews and non-Jews are going to have the same gauge, the same threshold for adulthood. Because it's the same Parsha. It's the same Parsha in Nedarim. So the Parsha in Nedarim, which obligates a Jew when he becomes 13, is going to be the same Parsha of Nedarim, which obligates a non-Jew when he becomes 13, right? Because it's the same Parsha. When do we say that a non-Jew becomes obligated when he has intellectual maturity, even before 13, or a girl even before 12? That's when it comes to their Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, which have nothing to do with our Taryag Mitzvahs. But when the non-Jew's obligation stems from our Taryag Mitzvahs, when it's learned from the Parsha, which obligates Jews, then they're going to have the same threshold, the same gauge, the same shear of adulthood as Jews. So that's why the Gemara in Maseches Nazir was assuming that the age of adulthood by Nedarim and Erechin for a non-Jew is 13 and 12, because we're talking about, like Alan said, Nedarim are different. We're talking about Nedarim and Erechin. And it's because the non-Jew's obligation stems from the Jew's obligation, and therefore it's going to have the same threshold, the same gauge, the same shear of adulthood. That's the Chasam Sofer's Teretz. So when it comes to Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, their adulthood is Das, intellectual maturity. But when it comes to any mitzvah which is learned from B'nei Yisrael, when it's learned from the Torah, and then it becomes obligated, binding upon B'nei Noach, so then, for them, they become obligated only when the girl becomes 12, or the boy becomes 13. That's the groundbreaking chiddush of the Chasam Sofer. Okay, so now that we've been discussing the concept of shiurim, so maybe we'll discuss a little bit of the lumdus of the idea of 13 and 12, what we'll call shanim, and the idea of shtei sa'aros, which we'll call simanim. Right? Shanim is 13 and 12, and simanim is the idea of shtei sa'aros, of the two hairs. What's the lumdus behind it? So the Gemara in Maseches Nida says that, let's say you have a child who matures early. Now we're just going to discuss Jews. We're not going to discuss the non-Jews. So the Gemara says, let's say you have a boy who develops shtei sa'aros when he's 12. Does he become a gadol? No. Why? He's not bar mitzvah. So the Gemara says that since if the child develops shtei sa'aros before he's 12, before he's 13, so we treat the hairs as non-real pubic. The Gemara calls it shuma. They're fake hairs. They're not real hairs. They're not a real indication of godliness. That's what the Gemara says. So the Brisker Rav, in his Shiur Maseches Tumur, quotes from his father, Reb Chaim. We're calling a lot of Brisker Torah these days. So he quotes from Reb Chaim, his father, who points out there seems to be a fundamental machlokas rishonim how to understand that idea. That if the child produces shtei sa'aros before he turns 13, why is it that he's not a bar mitzvah? Is it because that the real gauge for adulthood is shtei sa'aros? It's just that we don't treat those as real sa'aros until the child turns 13, right? Meaning the idea of 13 is just an indicator as to whether the pubic hairs that he has, the shtei sa'aros, are those real shtei sa'aros, or maybe there's some other growth. They're not real sa'aros, they're not bona fide sa'aros. But the idea of 13 is really just a condition that needs to be met in order to determine that the hairs that he has are real, bona fide shtei sa'aros. That's one understanding. The other understanding is what I think Ellie was suggesting beforehand, is that there are really two different milestones that need to be met. You need Shteis Aros, and need to be 13. And they're not necessarily interconnected. There are two milestones that need to be met in order for the child to become an adult. Shteis Aros and 13. So therefore, if you have Shteis Aros when the child is 12, it's not the pshat that the Sa'aros are not bona fide Sa'aros. They're bona fide Sa'aros. It's just that he's not 13, he's 12. So those are the two different havanos, the two different ways to understand the relationship between the idea of simanim, Shteis Aros, and the idea of shanim, 13. When the child brings Shteis Aros when he's 12, is it because there's something wrong with the Sa'aros? We don't think they're real Sa'aros until he turns 13? Or is it that you just need two milestones to be met? You need Shteis Aros, and you need the idea of Shani, you need 13 years.
What about the flip side?
Yeah.
Where he's 13, but he doesn't have Shteis Aros.
Yeah. So that's for sure not going to be good. That's
really?
For sure.
So if a boy, like a Jewish boy, doesn't have Shteis Aros, and he's not bar
mitzvah? Oh, so there's a concept, if we had time at the end, I was going to get into that, but I'll just mention it right now. There's a concept of Chazaka de Rava. Yeah, the Gemara in Maseches Nida says, Rava says that there's, in certain areas of Halacha, you're allowed to assume that a 13-year-old boy or a 12-year-old girl has produced Shteis Aros, right? We don't, the boy's about to lane. The rabbi doesn't say, let's go to the bathroom for a second. Yeah. That would be highly inappropriate. We don't do that, right? So Chazaka de Rava is that you're allowed to assume in certain areas of Halacha that a child is 13, he has Shteis Aros. What was that? I knew I couldn't talk about these things with you here.
I can't talk about anything. He set me up.
I know. So the Chazaka de Rava is that you're allowed to assume with respect to certain areas of Halacha that when a child, a boy turns 13, he has produced Shteis Aros, and when the girl turns 12, she has produced Shteis Aros. The poskim differentiate between Daraisas and Darabanans. When it comes to Dinam Daraisa, you're not allowed to assume. When it comes to Dinam Darabanan, you're allowed to assume. So that's why you're allowed to, when it comes to Minyan, let's say, you're allowed to count a 13-year-old boy who just turned 13 and his voice is really, really squeaky. You're allowed to count him to a Minyan, even though, you know, it's not so obvious that he's matured in that area, because of this Chazaka de Rava that you're allowed to assume with respect to Dinam Darabanan, assuming Minyan is a Din Darabanan, you're allowed to assume that he has Shteis Aros. That's the concept of Chazaka de Rava, and the poskim, generally speaking, assume that it depends on Dinam Daraisa versus Dinam Darabanan.
Is there a third criteria around Das, which is?
Yes, rabbinically, for Kinyanim.
Just for
Kinyanim. I don't think in other area of Halacha, for Jews, is Das a significant factor. It could potentially be, but not Halacha L'maisa. There is a Chiddush of the Or Sameach where he actually applies that Tshuva of the Chasam Sofer, somehow applying it to Jews, but it's not going to have any ramification of Halacha L'maisa.
Cut off at 20, if you don't have Das yet, then you're a
Shoten. That's for Sris, no? For an Islandist and for a Saris.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's in terms of if they don't produce the physical features of maturity. But that's not a din in das, that's a din in physical maturity. At a certain point, come on, the child is, the person's 20 years old or 35 years old, whatever it is, depending on whether it's an islandist or Swiss, you know, at a certain point, they don't need to necessarily produce the physical milestones of maturation once they've reached a certain age. That's 20, 35, yeah, that's not das, that's, I don't think. Unless I'm forgetting some, which could be. Okay, so what was that? Yeah. Yeah, that's a shota. Yeah. Right. But the shota is not a katan. It's a different. A shota is lacking in das, but a katan is also lacking in das. But we assume that once the child turns 13 and 12, yes, that is the pshat in a katan. The katan is lacking in das. But at a certain point, that when they become an adult, we assume they're no longer lacking in das. At what point are you allowed to assume that? So the halacha of Moshe Mishinai is once a child turns 13 and produces Shteis Aros, you're allowed to assume that they are fully capacitated in terms of their intellectual prowess. But
cool sentence.
Yeah. Yeah, I just made up a bunch of words, put them together, and tried to sound smart, but it failed miserably. What?
Non-Jews would be different since there's no concept of 13 and 12.
Yes.
Then you'd have to give them some sort of aptitude test.
Yeah. What's the aptitude test? How are you going to gauge that? I don't know. That's a good question. But I would imagine it's something like, you know, whether they have a business sense for Kinyonim and things like that. Howard will test them. Howard's going to test them.
On an ongoing basis if you're dealing with adolescents.
For sure. For sure. I don't know how it would play out halacha l'maisa, but maybe you can, you know, think of some aptitude test. That's your, no? No. Okay. Fine. So l'maisa, so the Brisker Rav quotes from Reb Chaim these two different understandings of the relationship between Shtei Sa'aros and Shanim, right? Is the reason that a child who is 12 years old, who has Shtei Sa'aros, is the reason that he's not a gadol because the Shtei Sa'aros are not bona fide Shtei Sa'aros, or is that no, they are bona fide Shtei Sa'aros, it just needs to be two milestones need to be met, the idea of Sa'aros and the idea of 13 years old for a boy. So Reb Chaim points out that it's a machlokus between the Rambam and Tosfos. How does he point this out? So there's a Gemara in Maseches Yevamos, which the Daf learned a long time ago. The Gemara says in Source 9, Amar Rav Safra, Bonim Hari Hem Kisimanim. What does it mean, Bonim Hari Hem Kisimanim? So without getting into exactly the context of the Gemara, what this means, Lamaisa, is let's say you have a girl who is 11 years old, and she becomes pregnant. Yeah? So is she considered a gedola or not? Or is she still a katana? So Rav Safra says, Bonim harihim kesimanim. That when a girl becomes pregnant, that has the same status as Shtei Sa'aros. That's what the Gemara says. Now there's a machlokas between, I just said something wrong. I was assuming one thing. There's a machlokas between Tosfos and the Rambam, how to understand that Gemara. Banim harim kisimanim. When the girl becomes pregnant, we assume it has a status of simanim. How old is the girl when she becomes pregnant for her to be considered a gedola? Again, this is if she hasn't produced Shtei Sa'aros, her being pregnant allows us to assume that she is a gedola, that she is an adult. Ah, exactly. So Tosfos there in Maseches Yevamos assumes that even if the girl is 11 and she becomes pregnant, she is considered a gedola. Whoa. And the Rambam assumes not the way. The Rambam assumes that it has to be that she's 12 and she becomes pregnant in order for her to be considered a gedola. So which opinion would you say makes more sense? The Rambam says that if she hasn't produced Shtei Sa'aros, but she's 12 years old and pregnant, she's considered a gedola. So normally you need 12 and Shtei Sa'aros. Here she's 12 and pregnant. So the Rambam makes more sense. Why?
Because it makes more sense for when able to become pregnant to replace the other physical attribute.
Exactly. Meaning the Gemara says, Banim harim kisimanim. So they're like Shtei Sa'aros. So just like when it comes to Shtei Sa'aros, the girl needs to be 12 with Shtei Sa'aros, so too she should have to be pregnant, 12 with pregnancy. Right? If pregnancy is just taking the place of Shtei Sa'aros, so it should have to happen at the age of 12. Just like Shtei Sa'aros at the age of 12, so too the pregnancy should be at the age of 12. That's the opinion of the Rambam. That makes a ton of sense. However, Tosfos over there in Maseches Yevamos is not the way. Tosfos says that really, if she becomes pregnant when she's 11 years old, she could be a gedola. When she's 11. You can have a girl who's bas mitzvah when she's 11. You know, not much celebrating happening, but if she's pregnant at the age of 11, so she's really a bas mitzvah and she becomes obligated in the mitzvahs. How could that be? She's 11. Excellent. Excellent. So, Evan was mechavit Reb Chaim. So, Reb Chaim pointed out as follows. If you assume that the real gauge for adulthood is Shtei Sa'aros, and the idea of 13 is just to ascertain whether these Shtei Sa'aros are bona fide Sa'aros, right? Then it could be that the idea of pregnancy will take the place of Sa'aros even before the age of, let's say, 12 for a girl. Because if the whole requirement of 12 for a girl or 13 is just to make sure that the Sa'aros are real Sa'aros, but the real gauge of adulthood is Sa'aros, not the age of 12 or 13, then it could be that pregnancy is sufficient on its own to determine that the girl is an adult. Because pregnancy is pregnancy. There's no, you know, not sure if it's a real pregnancy. If she's pregnant, she's pregnant. And if you're going to tell me that pregnancy is a real determining factor in terms of her adulthood, so then regardless of whether she's 11, 12, 13, if she's pregnant, she's an adult. So says Reb Chaim, Tosis is obviously assuming that the role of 13 for a boy and 12 for a girl is just a way to determine whether the shtei sa'aros that the boy or the girl has are real sa'aros, but the real determining factor for adulthood is sa'aros. Whereas the Rambam... Yeah, Evan, what does the Rambam say? The Rambam assumes the other way. They need both. Right, exactly. That you, in order to be considered adult, there are two milestones that need to be met. Shtei sa'aros and the age of 12 for a girl and 13 for a boy. And that's why the Rambam says if the girl becomes pregnant without having the shtei sa'aros, it has to be when she's 12. It can't be when she's 11. Because shtoich, she has...
Not real.
What was that?
They're not real.
The shtei sa'aros... But let's say if she's pregnant, though. It is. That's a real pregnancy. But it doesn't matter. You need both. You need two milestones. You need the physical maturation. That's one milestone that needs to be met. And then there's the age milestone that needs to be met. And those are both independent gauges, independent thresholds of adulthood in order for the boy to become a bar mitzvah and for the girl to become a bas mitzvah. That's why the Rambam assumes banim harihim kesimanim must mean that it's when the girl becomes 12. And this actually is applicable to, without getting into the, there's a Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin that somehow this is actually relevant for boys as well, because there's a discussion in the Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin at what point a male becomes able to actually impregnate a woman. So this discussion of Barnim, Harim, Kisimanim actually can somehow play out for males as well. We're just going to focus on from the Gemar Nivamos for girls right now. So Reb Chaim points out that these two different Havanos of the role, the interplay between Simanim, Shtei Sa'aros, and Shanim, 13 and 12, whether one is really necessary or both are necessary, is really the machlokas between the Rambam and Tosfos. And I don't want to go over time, but the Brisker Rav actually points out that there is another machlokas between Tosfos and the Rambam, Lishitasam, where the same idea, the same machlokas plays out in another area of halacha, that the Rambam assumes that both Simanim and Shanim are necessary milestones that need to be met independently in order to determine whether the girl is a bas mitzvah or the boy is a bar mitzvah. And Tosfos assumes not the way. Tosfos assumes that the real gauge, the real litmus test is shtei sa'aros, and the age of 12 for a girl and 13 is just a necessary way to determine whether the sa'aros are real bona fide sa'aros. So this is just some of the lumdis for the idea of what we call simani gadlos.
So according to Tosfos, yeah, you could count a 12-year-old for a minion if you confirm shtei sa'aros?
No, because you can't confirm, because the halacha is...
If he's impregnated a woman.
Yeah, so maybe. Exactly, so maybe.
What was Rambam say about an 11-year-old girl that's pregnant?
An 11-year-old girl that's pregnant is still a katana.
Wow.
It's still a katana, because the Rambam says she's 11. She has to be 12. Tosfos assumes no. If she became pregnant, that's the equivalent of having bona fide sa'aros. It's as if she's 12, but she doesn't have to be 12.
Is there anything for the child, a child born to a katana? Is there something to that?
What do you mean?
Is there anything wrong? I mean, it just seems abnormal for a katana to have a baby.
Right, so the reason the Gemara is discussing that in Yevamos over there is because it's dangerous. The Gemara there is talking about birth control. Gimel Nashim Misham Shos B'moch. The Gemara there is talking about pregnancy, so it's dangerous for a katana to become pregnant, so she's allowed to use birth control. That's the discussion of the Gemara there. It's possible but dangerous. Okay. Yasha Koyach, everyone. Mazel Tov on the scene.